then transition into the next agenda item, which is a companion and related item to this. So this is an information item, cannabis regulatory program and its relation to county ordinances. We have Casey Grady, Connor McEntee, and Adona White. And I would remind anybody in the audience, of course, if you want to address this issue, we have speaker cards. We'd love to hear what you have to say. This is an information item, so I don't expect that we will have action on this.
Good morning, Chairman Norin and members of the board. My name is Casey Grady, Senior Water Resource Control Engineer for your staff and Supervisor of the Cannabis Regulatory Unit. Before we get started, one clarification, Adona White is on vacation, so she's not part of the presentation. In addition, I don't believe Connor and I have been sworn in. Do we need to be?
No, this is an information
item. I want to make sure.
Yeah, but before we do that, I don't know if we've, I can't remember if on the last meeting, case, and we formally acknowledged your stepping into this role. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You look good in the tie.
Thank you very much.
Take it away.
Okay. So I'm here with Connor McEntee of our staff, who will be coming up and helping to present here on this item. So this item is here to provide an update on the relationship between county ordinances and the regional water board, North Coast Water Board's cannabis regulatory program. And we also have some staff from a couple of the counties here in the audience.
Great.
To answer questions that you might have. There we go. Okay. So as you know, and as Josh mentioned, the Medical Cannabis Regulation and Safety Act became effective on January 1st, 2016, which mandated a comprehensive state licensure and regulatory framework for cultivation and all other aspects of this industry, including a statewide water quality protection program by January 1st, 2018. Subsequently, Prop 64, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act, was approved by voters on November 8th, 2016. And both acts delegate authority for licensing of cultivation to the Department of Food and Agriculture. But they also allow for local jurisdictions to maintain local control via ordinances, zoning, land use requirements, and local business license requirements. And I'll refer to them perhaps as MCRSA and AUMA. But they allow local jurisdictions to prohibit cultivation, that is, if that's the will of the people in that jurisdiction. So I've created just a little map of our region here, and I've showed that it overlaps with 10 counties shown here, and the counties in gray, Del Norte, Siskiyou, and a little tiny bit of Marin, currently prohibit outdoor cultivation. The rest of the counties in green have active ordinances allowing outdoor cultivation from as little as 100 square feet in Glenn County and then up to an acre in Sonoma and Humboldt counties, depending on zoning and cultivation size. Depends on the licensing type. So it may be hard to read, but I'll just point out that I have included the associated square foot or plant count allowances for each county on the map, but I've also included them on the subsequent slides, so you don't have to worry about trying to read that. Okay, so I've created a little summary table here showing the 10 counties in our region and the ones that have ordinances that either allow or prohibit outdoor cultivation currently. And then I've also included the allowable cultivation areas or plant counts and whether they require enrollment with the water board program. And then the last column shows the respective county's approach to CEQA for each of their ordinances. So just to summarize the table, 7 of the 10 allow outdoor cultivation. That includes Humboldt, Trinity, Mendocino, Sonoma, Lake, Modoc, and Glen. And 3 of those 7 currently require enrollment with our program, Order R1 2015-023. And that those include Humboldt, Trinity, and Sonoma. And then Mendocino is in the process of updating their ordinance, as well as actually most of these counties are in the process, and we'll get into that in subsequent slides.
Casey, just a really quick question. I see the last column to the right, which is a CEQA compliance component. Two questions on that. Is that individual project CEQA level, or is that programmatic within the ordinance itself?
Yeah, that's specific reference to programmatic for the ordinance.
I see some that are exempt and some that went as far as a mitigated NCAG.
Correct. And so some of the counties allow for individual project licensing with conditional use permits that would require perhaps individual CEQA.
And these were, correct me if I'm wrong, these are embedded into the ordinance making process for the county and entity that's making these rules.
Yes, that's my understanding.
Thank you.
So at this point, I will invite Connor McEntee to come up and take over the next few slides to summarize a few of our county ordinances.
Good morning, Chairman Norman, members of the board. I'm Connor McEntee, working as an environmental scientist under Case and Grady in the regulatory unit. And I look good without a tie, I guess. I forgot mine down south. So I'm going to talk about a few of the county ordinances, kind of starting with the first one that came through as a fully formed ordinance in Humboldt County. So Humboldt County's ordinance was effective as of February 26th. It says 2013, and it should be 2016. The applications were due by December 31st of 2016. There were, by that date, there was approximately 2,300 applications that were received to the county. 75% of them were for existing operations in their ordinance. They also allowed for proposals for new cultivation activities as well. So about 25% of those were for new cultivation activities. Currently, a little over 100 are complete applications and are being reviewed. And 18 have been approved. This ordinance does require compliance with regulatory order R1 2015-0023, the Water Board Cannabis Regulatory Program Order. The existing operation permit tiers are a tiered structure, kind of similar to ours, with different tiers because it addresses some of the different aspects that went through MRSA. And those permit tiers are dependent on zoning and size, and it allows for up to 1 acre of cultivation. And new operations are only allowed on prime agricultural soils and slopes less than 15%. You can, in those new cultivation sites, you can have up to 10,000 square feet or potentially up to 1 acre of cultivation in special cases where I believe you need a special use permit for that.
Hunter, may I ask you a point of clarification? These are county ordinances, but do cities similarly have rulemaking ability, and have they done so?
There are cities that have rulemaking ability, and some have done so. It's not something that I specifically looked into for this. I know that Santa Rosa, for example, has...
So even though there's an umbrella of Sonoma County, Santa Rosa or a jurisdiction, say, within Sonoma County, for example, could set their own rules under their rulemaking ability, I believe.
Correct, and I don't know, I'm not quite familiar enough with the county rules and how they interact with those more local jurisdictions.
Okay.
But some may, you know, it may be dependent upon like what the county sets as to what the local jurisdiction can then do on top of that, the same way that the state has set limitations and the county governments can.
Not just said. Board member, just Mr. Chairman. Connor, just do you know the context or the background why Humboldt County limited new operations to prime ag soils?
It was to, I believe it was to state that that's going to be where the least environmental impact is going to occur, And so it's the, and it's areas where, you know, agriculture can, because this is now considered by the state of California to be agriculture, that that's where, you know, there's going to be an easier time to be able to move this forward in these new areas. But
just a comment. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That just strikes me as odd because most producers buy their soil and raise their plants in bags. So literally, you can grow that kind of agricultural system. You can grow these plants in a parking lot. There's no reason to hold off prime ag soil. So I just a comment. I find that odd that other commodities that do require deep, rich soils, cannabis apparently people mix their own. Just a comment.
Okay, so just to continue on in Humboldt County, it also requires compliance with the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Division of Water Rights permitting processes of the Lake and Stream Bed Alteration Agreement, having a valid water right. It does not require residents within the county to cultivate. It also allows for a 4-to-1 relocation, remediation, and retirement of infeasible sites to prime ag soil sites. So if there's a site that doesn't make environmental sense, and the individual that was cultivating there before the ordinance came about wants to move that to a different location that's more suitable, then they allow up to 4 times the square footage of what they had been initially cultivating to move it to a more appropriate location. I believe that there's a limitation of up to 22,000 square feet on that, but that might be against something that Humboldt County can address, but I believe that's up to that 22,000 square feet. And then they have a maximum of 2 years to correct any code violations from you know, other building permit and building requirements that they might have, and environmental components as well. And county staff are currently working on an environmental impact report and a revised post-EIR ordinance as they may be moving forward with a supplemental ordinance as a result of the recreational aspect that's passed. So for Trinity County, there is currently an urgency ordinance in place to create commercial marijuana cultivation. That was effective as of December 21st, 2016. That also requires enrollment under order number R1-2015-0023 and prioritizes permits based on the date of enrollment in the order. So they're looking at when did you actually submit your paperwork to the water board, and that works in conjunction with putting you in line for receiving a permit with the county. It allows up to 10,000 square feet for cultivation, there's 4 different license types. It requires a permitted residence and a septic system or an active permit to be working towards compliance with your residency and the septic system. There's also an existing personal cultivation ordinance which allows between 2 and 8 plants per parcel depending on the size of the parcel. So for Mendocino County, they currently have medical marijuana cultivation regulation in Chapter 9.31 of their county code, and that was effective in 2008, and it was modified in 2012, and then modified again in 2016. That does not require enrollment under our order, as that was one of the programs that was passed before our order and before there was any working framework with our agency in the local jurisdictions. It allows cultivation of up to 25 plants per parcel, and they are working on a future ordinance a medical cannabis cultivation regulation looking to come out in April of this year, where the draft requires compliance with the regulatory order, the Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Division of Water Rights, same kind of scheme that the other, that Humboldt County has gone with. License types, again, depend on size and zoning. It applies to any cultivation greater than 100 square feet per patient. And so here I'm going to give it back to Kaysen Grady to talk about some of the other counties.
Thank you, Connor. going to back up a slide. Only just to point out a couple things. So I just spoke to staff in Mendocino County today, and they anticipate having a public meeting on March 21st, which I believe is the date that the public's going to have, you know, first chance at in the board reading through the new draft ordinance that, you know, may get voted on. So I'm not going to commit to what's going to happen there, but I'm definitely interested and likely go. That way I can help keep you guys up to date in the status of these counties. Additionally, I want to point out, because we got to Mendocino now, the landscape is changing rapidly. And Mendocino is an example of one of three counties that just had board meetings and workshops yesterday. So we were considering going. In fact, we cruised by and stopped off in Lake County on the way, and they had a packed house where they're considering an update to their ordinance, again, to align it with the new regulations, to consider recreational, to consider different zoning allowances in different zoning areas, and how they're going to allow this activity to happen, because their existing ordinances may be not aligned with it, may be too restrictive. Anyway, so Mendocino is an example of that. They had a board meeting yesterday where they discussed this issue. No action was taken. And so I'll move on to Sonoma County. And so they established a medical cannabis land use ordinance January 19th. In fact, it had a tax measure that was voted on yesterday, and I forgot this morning to check on the status of that, but it's intertwined with
past 75%.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tax ordinance passed, which means they have a funding mechanism to implement this program. And it does require enrollment in our order. And it allows for, as I understand, all 10 license types identified in the Medical Cannabis Regulatory and Safety Act. That includes up to an acre of cultivation in currently in agricultural zones. It only allows cultivation in ag or industrial zones, and up to about a half acre of mixed light in industrial zones. And then it does include various stringent requirements. That's a function of they took, I believe, an exemption approach to CEQA. In order to qualify for that, they have all these very stringent requirements, such as they've limited to just ag and industrial zones, 100% renewable energy requirement. They have thorough agricultural BMPs through the Ag Department, require a wastewater management plan, and in low water use areas, no net increase in water use, and then they require groundwater monitoring. So there's various specific requirements to their ordinance that are pretty stringent, and they do anticipate a phase two where within the end of this year or next year that could include an EIR and then to further address recreational cultivation and allowances in other zones, potentially. So then I'm going to cruise through a few of these other ones. So Lake County, effective in 2014, does not require enrollment in our order, and the next few counties, I've kind of ordered them in terms of counties with lesser cultivation areas that are allowed. So they really allow six plants on parcels over an acre, and then with this allowance for collectives can get together and grow 48 plants on large parcels over 20 acres. They do have a stringent 100-foot riparian buffer distance, which is more or less consistent with our order, so we like that in terms of water quality. And then consists similar to Trinity County, it is an accessory use to a permitted residence, so you have to have a residence, and it's prohibited on vacant properties. And as I mentioned, they had a workshop yesterday. It was a packed house, and so it looks like they're going to be making some progress. Glenn County, real small portion of our region, but they do have an ordinance that does allow 100 square feet per parcel. Also an accessory use, they have established an ad hoc committee in January where they're also considering how they're going to modify the ordinance in the future. And then get through the last one with an allowance, which is Modoc County, and they do have an allowance, but it's limited to 24 plants per parcel. Also an accessory use. Commercial cultivation is banned, so it is a medical personal use program, and they do not have plans, as I understand it, to update their ordinance. So I think they're going to keep it that way and not allow for commercial cultivation in their county. So then we have a few prohibited counties, Siskiyou, Del Norte, and Marin. Although each one of them is in the process of updating that in one way or another. So Siskiyou's developed an ad hoc committee. They had a meeting yesterday, actually, where no formal decision was made, but within about 6 to 8 weeks, the committee's going to come back to the board with some direction on potential modifications to their ordinance.
Okay, so to be clear, those are prohibitions for outdoor growth.
That is a good clarification. So there's an allowance for some indoor cultivation in Siskiyou County and Guayrica, but I'm focusing on outdoor because that's the focus of our order. That's my focus here. And again, Del Mar County has all had a workshop at their board meeting in February, and they're also considering how to modify their ordinance and to determine whether they're going to have some allowance. So all of these, there's no actual determination what they're going to do, but they're anticipating MCRSA and AUMA going into effect on January 2018, and they'd like to get something on the books prior to that. So one important piece of this is our ongoing needs with the counties. Art mentioned it briefly. We do have a lot of coordination that we're going to need to do with regards to enrollment with our program and permitting on their end. We're currently doing that with the counties. Yeah, I definitely would admit that we need to do more. There's a lot to do, but we are coordinating. And one example, I guess, to point out that something Art mentioned is, so, and a question, Chairman Norin, we use CWICS. California Integrated Water Quality System is our database to manage enrolled sites. And when we activate a site, it is searchable. People can go on. Now, there's limited amount of data that is available. It's definitely not all of the data from our program, but counties, local jurisdictions can go in and search by WDID, is this site enrolled or not? And we're going to continue working on that to make it more efficient for the counties to determine at a minimum, are they enrolled? And then compliance is a more complex analysis that we can get into later. But there's other things that we need to do to coordinate with the counties, including providing comments on the CEQA documents, whether it be individual project sites or the upcoming modifications to all of their ordinances. So we're going to have our hands full of that. And then there are other aspects of our order, including grading operations that are common to the development of these types of sites, as well as potential compliance. And so some counties don't have grading ordinances, and we are here to provide assistance to the counties, either, whether it be in development of those or in oversight of potential grading operations that people come to the county with applications. And then there's also one of the most common pollution sources is the shared roads. Given the rural landscape here and the history of land use transition, we find these sites up in the hills, down these old roads, and because of that, we need to coordinate with the counties on shared use roads and how to reduce sediment. It's not good when your PowerPoint tells you you're talking too long. And I think I'm done. We also need to coordinate with enforcement, and that brings me to questions to the board.
Questions from Mr. Casey. Mr. Deese.
Yeah, Kasa, this is exactly what I wanted when I made the request for an overview, so thank you. I think, you know, take-home message, a lot going on, lots going to change. Counties are struggling with how best to implement this to address existing laws. I really like the idea of you know, addressing shared roads and other obvious risk factors for water quality. So both you and Connor, thanks. This is what I thought would be helpful for the board, because it is a divergent region we have, with very different demographics from one end of the region to the other, and I just think it shows the complexity of the challenge ahead for our region, and for us to be a centerpiece in trying to coordinate all of these independent actions and being being a cog in the wheel by setting a standard, having an expected level of threshold through our order, and having other jurisdictions a tier off of ours. So thanks, very good, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Casey, may I ask you, so it looks like many of these ordinances were built around the medical specifically. I would imagine then with the personal and the coming commercial, because that's the next couple steps here, I believe. Do you anticipate then similar or additional rulemaking as that's done?
Yes, and as I was trying to get at, most counties where they are holding workshops or they have ad hoc committees where they're trying to determine modifications to their ordinances to align with Prop 64 and Medical Cannabis Regulatory Safety Act that allows for this commercial medical. Most all of them are in the process of modifying their ordinances.
Yeah, what I find interesting is that, you know, when we did this order, as I recall, you know, it did not legalize the activity. It regulated the activities and the discharge of waste related to the activity. And the waste in the regional board is really a broad definition of waste. And that what's happened since in the meantime is that the activity is being regulated. The consumption, personal consumption, medical has been around for a long time, and commercial is coming as well. Because of that, I know that we are the Water Quality Board, and yet we have broad authority under Port of Cologne, both for water quality issues. We're integrated with our state board members on diversion of water use and water use as it pertains to surface water. One request, I don't even have to actually probably make this explicit, but that we continue to integrate as an agency vertically and horizontally through this maze of activity that's either individual to counties or at the state board level or cities. I think you're on the right track to do that. When I was driving up yesterday, I got up to about Garberville and I caught a program on the radio that was at KMA that was talking about I believe it was you, Connor, that was talking about Humboldt County had 3,200 people come in the door. And my immediate thought was that, you know, 3,200 processes go through Humboldt County. Next step would be logically 3,200 potentially applications get screened through Regional Water Board for compliance. It seems like it's an A and a B to me, with potentially sequential steps, so that in Sonoma County, it's quite interesting what's happening with some of the cities are going their own way. At the same time, the County of Sonoma has traditionally had, you know, a permitting process, which was always meant to be kind of the one-stop shop, right? You get it all in one spot. And maybe I'm a dreamer, but to seem that, you know, that we don't want to be a siloed agency. You guys are really aware, you're out there on that landscape, you have expertise in the resource base of this whole thing, and I encourage you to continue to vertically and horizontally integrate this program, and that I'm sure we'll take this program up in the future to amend it as this world continues to change. I want to encourage you and staff, though, to go out there and be involved, to make this program be a piece of a component, and vice versa, by the way, that we don't, you know, we often hear the complaint in the world of bureaucracy that we make it way too complicated. And this is complicated, there's no doubt. It has a legality to it, it has a resource, it has people, it has everything in it. But that would be my desire and my looking forward to it, that we do, we use our expertise and our base, and we're well positioned to do that. I encourage you to do that.
Thank you very much, I couldn't agree more. A little context, I think we're going to have the resources to do that in the near future. Right now, we are doing the best we can. Connor and I are the two people at our new regulatory unit. And then last Friday, I was invited and attended a panel presentation up here with Humboldt County, and that was a very very effective workshop. We had hundreds of people in the audience, and I think it was good for everybody involved.
Well, and the very last thing I'd say is that you guys are walking a fine line, I think, too, between a community that's traditionally been shielded and veiled and often in dark corners because it was not legal, and now that world's changing. And so as that goes, whether it be your staff that work under you or integrating with other agencies and personnel out there as well, that to think about how we approach that world out there. And to you're walking a fine line, I believe, out there. It's got to be an interesting world to walk through.
Yep, it is.
Nice job. Any other questions or comments? Kelly?
So the enrollment versus compliance, that was an interesting topic, and we thought that through, but I think that's something we need to work on. And I think utmost what we need to work on right now is the communication with the counties, and my perspective is Trinity County, and it's the poorest county in the state. We have the oldest mean age population in the state. So we have a lot of gray hairs in the county. And we have no CAO. We have our county councils acting as CAO and three other hats. The clerk to the board, she has five different roles that she plays. So when the communication is done to these counties, sometimes it needs to be on a direct individual phone call to each one of the supervisors.
Mm-hmm.
Because, of course, we have the Brown Act, so you can't tell one supervisor and expect them to tell everyone else because then they can't do that. So I think that we really need to build a relationship with them and understand the underlying goal of each county. Because as you noted, not every county is embracing marijuana growth. So you kind of have to understand what the ultimate goal of their ordinance is as we help the people who fall into being eligible to grow, just need to make sure that we understand what the counties are doing. So that would be good. And then is it's interesting. It's just an interesting world that we're living in right now. And I know that I was talking to some of the board supervisors, and it would be nice if we didn't have to spend all our bandwidth and county time and people's time and water board time, and it's just sucking up resources right now that it would be nice if we could put into other community efforts, but this is where we are right now.
Mm-hmm. You brought up compliance versus enrollment, and Art mentioned it before.
Yeah.
I would like to touch on it very briefly that my understanding that counties that require compliance with our order, enrollment is step one, and then compliance is something that it requires an assessment, and that those counties that have included that compliance condition of their permit and licensing system, it's an opportunity for when we go out and inspect and determine a site to be not in compliance, and we can't get them into compliance, then there's the hook, there's the ability for the county to revoke their permit. If effectively it's like compliance is a condition of the permit, and if you can't comply with us or other agencies, then it's like discharging is not a right, it's a privilege, and I think the same thing goes with business licensing.
So the indoor growing is
Mm-hmm.
They have discharge, don't they? I mean, you can't have a big, huge greenhouse without discharge. And do we have regulations for that?
So, yeah, it's a complicated piece of the puzzle. As I understand it, or at least as some people have argued to me, that, and I think it's possible, that there are indoor cultivation sites without discharges, with extreme amounts of conservation, and recycling, it's possible, in theory. I have not seen that site. There's also the possibility of two main other types. So there's the distributed non-point source discharges, which overlap a lot with our order. And then there's the more concentrated wastewater piece that is a little different than an outdoor grow that is more distributed. And so then you have to ask yourself, where does that wastewater go? Does it go to a septic system or does it go to a wastewater treatment plant? If it goes to another system, like a wastewater treatment plant that already has a permit, say through the local municipality and subsequently via the water board, then there's another system to regulate that discharge of waste, whether it be pretreatment program or potentially an individual WDR for that. On the other hand, if it goes to a septic system, you know, normally septic systems, we've delegated authority through the on-site wastewater treatment system policy for the counties to implement, but I also understand that discharges of indoor cultivation wastewater, it exceeds the criteria to qualify for the OTS policy, and therefore they would need another more individualized compliance mechanism, either directly with the county or through us. And so our order is not really intended to address that. Those sites can enroll in our order, but one of our standard conditions is that they comply with either the OTS policy and local health standards and ordinances. And so if that doesn't comply, then it wouldn't qualify. And so there is somewhat of a gap that needs to be filled. On the other hand, our order is intended to regulate all the discharge of waste on a property. And so those sites can enroll, potentially. It's going to be site-specific and dependent on, you know, what is their wastewater management and where does it go to.
And I'd report to you that that was a topic of discussion on the chair's call with State Board last week, and that you kind of nailed it right there. From the standpoint that they see it very much, if it discharges to a POTW, a community system, that it's essentially a pretreatment requirement, waste discharge requirement. There wasn't a lot of conversation about septic systems at State Board, but I know it's something that other regions have contemplated case in, and that are thinking about, but you nailed it.
That's something to keep on our radar and look forward to in the future and see, you know, when the State Board order comes out, we'll see how it's addressed.
Yeah, great. Let me do a couple speaker cards here. Actually, I only have one. I have one for Art Dyke again. Can I ask if, I'd really be interested to hear what municipalities have to say here, if anybody would be so willing. Get a speaker card in. Love to hear what you have to say and your experience here and how we can do this well. Come on up, Art. And if not, that's fine too, by the way.
Thank you again. My name is Art Dyke. I'm a private consultant out of Sonoma County, and I failed to thank the board and staff for bringing these meetings up to the Eureka Fortuna area. I was able to resupply with Yale River Brewery. I'm really happy about that. This is a really complicated program, and what staff has to do with understanding the county regulations and ordinances and how those interact with what they're doing, I mean, it's almost a superhuman effort, because this is an environment that's changing rapidly all the time, and for staff to be this aware of it is very impressive. There are other complications to this, too, as you're fully aware. I mean, in Sonoma County, Region 2 has the southern part of the county, and so they don't have an order for this. Lake County, of course, you know, the 90% of it is under Region 5, and so that has a separate order. So from the discharger standpoint, this really complicates things when you have to deal with different county requirements and also different regional board requirements or the lack thereof. I just wanted to point out that there's, and Kaysen was talking about this, that there's resources on both sides of this equation with the county and the local jurisdictions. The regional board brings in expertise on water quality, on watersheds, that overall the local jurisdictions may not have, but what the local jurisdictions have is they're with the community, they understand the creeks, they understand the water bodies, they understand everything that's on a local area, and they're actually going to have more inspectors, and speaking of that, Sonoma County, that are going to be on the ground, and they're going to be out there, and this is a synergy, this is an interaction that regional board should be embracing to work really closely with these inspectors. This is, as Kasem mentioned before, but it's another layer of activity and another layer of burden on regional board staff where they, you know, they, this is a resource that they can reach out to, but that requires time and energy to actually do that. So the unit needs more people. You guys need to, you know, really look at how the budget works and be able to staff this. They need more people. And then the last thing is, with the standard conditions of this order, and with the conditions, the development criteria, the operational criteria in these county ordinances, there's a lot of stuff the standard conditions address. So waste management, whether it's human or cultivation, water supply, erosion control, if you're meeting the standard conditions in this order, then many times you're going to be meeting the conditions that are in the county ordinance. And so there's a way that work that can be done, and this is speaking on behalf of the discharger, is if they do the work required for the standard conditions in this order, they can easily just with a transplant that to meet the requirements in the ordinance. And so this is another area that the regional board may be able to help the county with identifying these things, how the pieces actually mesh and work. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Any questions for?
Well, I'm glad you got your resupply of beer there, man. Thanks for coming out. I do have two additional speaker cards. I have Randy Jacobson, and then followed by Stephen Lazar.
Yeah, my name's Randy Jacobson. I represent Jacobson and Associates. We are third-party inspectors for the State Water Board, or the Regional Water Quality Control Board. The issue I guess I wanted to touch on was, which has been bothering me, is how we were going to take this program and tie it with Mendocino County, Sonoma County, and Humboldt County. And just one idea I had, and I think I'm sure there'll be several, is the forest practice rules require that licensed timber operators be insured and to operate on private land. And at any time I can go online on the Cal Fire's website, and they will tell me whether a logger is in compliance. And I think that is something that I would love to see if the Water Board could develop a program like that. I know it's going to take a while, and I know there's a ton of data that they have to compile, but that's going to be the most difficult part of this program, is trying to get some of these counties. I was in Trinity County last week, and as Kelly says, they're so far behind the eight ball on this program because they just don't have the funds and the manpower to stay up with this program. And so, again, that's I really think that's going to be one of the most difficult things we do, is trying to keep the counties informed.
So. Let's comment. Any comments, questions? It seems to be a common theme, behind the gun, right, under the gun, and small rural counties. I mean, I think, Kelly, you bring that perspective here in Trinity County. I'm Sonoma County, and we're a little bit different on economic base and social base, but it is a quite interesting conundrum we've created here, and we're a part of. So I thank you for your part.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Steve Lazar, that's the last speaker part I got.
Hi, my name is Steve Lazar. I work in the Humboldt County Planning and Building Department. I collaborated with County Council's office on the development of the regulations that Connor and Kasem were referencing, and I've been working to help with the implementation of those. I'd like to be available. I'm here today to answer questions, but also provide that local perspective. Maybe just real quickly, I'd say the things that I think are important. One of the things that you talked about is compliance versus enrollment, and that's very much something we're wrestling with as a local agency. I don't see their order of operations being necessarily, as you spoke, in terms of the county first engages and then the regional board. The fact of the matter is the regional board was the first to jump in the pool, is the way I put it. And it was a huge blessing to agencies like us in the northern region because we were able to tear off of the mitigation measures, and it helped us achieve our objectives in getting legislation online. So the regional board order had a famous deadline of February, I believe, for the initial enrollment period. That meant there was a crop of enrollees that by August were due with their water resource protection plans. Those plans are instrumental to achieving compliance under the order and are built into the permit conditions that we're working to develop with the applications that we received. And I think Casey and Connor are right. We have a very small pool of applications that are ready to get to the finish line, and that's a product of the pace at which all of this is rolled out. However, I see more and more coming online each day, and anticipate by the end of this year that we will have a significant population to contend with. Enrollment and compliance is still a huge challenge, though, because not everything under the order addresses localized land use concerns. The discharge from roads in terms of sediment delivery is one aspect of rural road issues, but traffic patterns and neighborhood concentrations of activity are something that we have to look at in a different lens. We have fire safe regulations that regulate the width of roads, so a road might be not delivering sediment, but inadequate to serve the volume of traffic and the number of people on a rural road system, as one example. And then I think lastly, the coordination is ongoing and necessary because we can't all be doing concurrent inspections of these things. The resources are just not there yet, and I don't think they ever will be, to be quite honest. However, I want to thank the regional board for doing what they did in August of 2015 ahead of the state law that did this. Our regulations were developed at a frenetic pace because of the initial March 1st deadline that was in there, that was to see local control essentially if no regulations were in place. That was ultimately removed by the legislature, but at the time that we initiated our ordinance process, that was a reality. So some of the major concerns are the overlap between the regional board. We've embedded that into our ordinance. All the tier one conditions are applicable to all applicants, regardless of whether they're subject to enrollment. So you can rest assured that we're having to serve as in a regional board function in a certain capacity in the relationship of our review of the permits. However, I think there should be a recognition of that in terms of the coordination, because it really is a lot to put on the shoulders of a planner or someone on the building side of our operation. They're more accustomed to looking at conventional land use development activities. But I want to be available to questions. The 2300 permit, not 3200.
Sorry, transpose my numbers.
I would argue that that's a small percentage of what exists on the North Coast. Part of our ordinance, we did some outreach to Van Butzik from the UC Berkeley Extension. In 2012, using Google Earth satellite imagery, he estimated that in Humboldt County alone, there was 8,400 cultivation sites. That number was a snapshot of half the watersheds in the county, 4,200 cultivation sites, which was half a random sample of the watershed. So 8,400 was a reasonable extrapolation. But exponential growth has been observed by agencies that go into the field in terms of the size of cultivation and the sheer intensity of it. So the 2,300 probably represents 20% or less of the total population of existing operators just in our county alone. And that's why we're endeavoring to reopen the door, the deadline that was December 31st of last year that closed the door on applications. Our new EIR that we're in the process of getting underway will allow us to reopen that and to consider some of the policies like the prime agricultural soils requirement, which was essentially a lens to filter development down to the sites where we could be the most confident. And without pretending that historically soil wasn't the driving factor as to where these were located, more the actual ability to be not detected. So now that we're talking in a daylighting of the industry, having that conversation is part of that, of where is the most appropriate places when we're doing this above board in the light of regulation. So I'd be happy to answer questions you might have about our ordinance, but it was the first and is constantly evolving, and it is a huge challenge to implement. And a lot of the last, I would say, 8 months that we had prior to the deadline was just trying to court the industry to come forward. And that was a lot of what Kaysen and his colleagues were doing as well. And that is still the phase we're sort of in. I think we've now transitioned to working with the permit pool that we have to deal with. But we just turned that corner, and that characterized a lot of what our efforts have been historically.
Thank you, Steve. Question for Steve. Well, one thing is, congratulations on 2,300. Yeah. That is quite an impressive number. I think that for one thing, just to kind of put this in perspective again, that enrollment versus compliance, you know, compliance is something that's just not automatic. It's something that is actually a constant. And that you know that. I think we're always going to be in the mode to cajole and to encourage enrollment and coming into this program or the programs that are developed, whether they be local or statewide. That was fully contemplated out of some of the efforts at the state in the beginning, because there were certainly people that were doubting the path of even trying to do what we did. And it was an act of faith, and it is an imperfect act of faith, but it is a journey, and the steps that have been taken initially at the state level, at the local level, county level, city levels, there's a lot going on. And I appreciate not only your perspective, your work, but also your desire to integrate with our staff. And vice versa, by the way. That door swings both ways. Some questions? Great. Thank you so much for coming up. Josh, if I may ask, there's always a lot of interest in this, and this is quickly evolving. So while we don't have an action, the only thing I would ask is that then we have a checkup sometime down the road, maybe 6 months down the road, that we have this type of discussion. I think it's super helpful. We don't have to put a hard date out there, but just put it in your mind that you and your guys, whether it be Kaysen or other folks, if you want to keep this on kind of a rolling agenda item, I think it would be helpful to have an understanding as this evolves and changes, and so that we can understand it collectively, so that we can be effective as we can, find where we're not being effective and amend. That would be my request.
Of course, I would agree with the state board process as well. So
yes,
there's going to be a lot to talk about. So yeah. We'll definitely keep that and talk with Matt when we want to have that.
Well, good job to you and your staff too. You guys are coming down this road, and you've come a long ways. There's obviously a lot to do here, and there's a lot of interest in this. So very, very good work.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to close that item.